Okay, top line, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Abaye Amar, Hainu Taima De Isi. Isi said, the women are not Mechuyev in Karka. Now, the way he's going to do this is the same way Abaye did the Gemara before. That since this Xeris Shava Karka Karka, to tell us something, and we don't know what we need Xeris Shava for. Must be there's a halacha here in Parshas Embar about Karka that we didn't see in the pasuk, and that is the Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron must be going on Karka as well. Because if it wouldn't be going on Karka, why would the Torah write Xeris Shava? I don't need Xeris Shava for anything else. But since I don't need Xeris Shava for anything else, therefore must be that the Xeris Shava must be telling me a definition in the Parshas Emor, a definition in the Parsha about Kahanim, and telling me that Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron is going on Karka as well. We did the same thing yesterday with the Xeris Shava of Pas. We did the Xeris Shava, same thing with the Xeris Shava of Pas. And today, we're doing that same thing with the Xeris Shava of Karka. Right. So the Mefarshim point out, just as an aside, that really, once you had the Xeris Shava of Pas that told me the Bnei Aaron, the Loi Bnei Aaron is going all the way down to the Halacha of Pas, which is written after Karka, so why would I need a Xeris Shava to tell me it's going on Karka? If it's going all the way down to Pas, it should be going on Karka as well. Again, just to explain so we should understand the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say now that the very fact that the Torah told us Xeris Shava about Karka is defining Parshas Emor. Because I wouldn't know whether Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron goes all the way down to the Parsha of Karcha. So by writing the Xeris Shava, it defines it. The word Pas is written after Karcha. And yesterday we said the Pas defined the Bnei Aaron, Bnei Bnei Aaron goes all the way to Pas. So practices, if it goes all the way to Pas, doesn't it all the way go to Karcha as well? That's Taisis' Kasha. Right? Why would I think that it doesn't go all the way to Karcha if it goes all the way to Pas? So Taisa says, I would think, this is Taisa's discussion, Taisa says that I would think that the Torah skips. The Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron goes on Pas, but doesn't go on Karka, because by Karka it's written Tiam Kadosh, by Parshas Kedoshim. So maybe that includes women. So therefore, I need a special Xeris Shava by Karka to teach me the Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron is going on Karka as well. Meaning, even though in the order of Sukkim, Karka is written before Pas, and if Pas taught me already that Bnei Aaron V'loi Bnei Aaron is going all the way there, still, I would think that maybe the Torah skipped Karka, and Karka, Bnei Aaron are Chayev. So the Xeris Shava of Karka teaches me that Bnei Aaron are not Chayev in Karka. I hope I explained myself. Just like over there, Nashim Peturis. Avkan, Nashim Peturis. If you're going to tell me, because the Gemara is explaining it. Well, it's not a kasha. So to Gemara, why are we saying this? Because if you would learn the Bnei Aaron is only going on Tumma, right? Not going on Karka, Nishta Krumine, I wouldn't need the Xeris Shava of Karka. The Taisi B'Kavachaymer. I'd be able to learn it out of the Kavachaymer. Vano Amina. Where the Torah included extra mitzvahs. The Torah said, "Bnei Aaron v'loi bnei Aaron, you surely koshkei." Right. So what do I need in Xeris Shava? If not in Xeris Shava, I would have said Bnei Aaron v'loi bnei Aaron is not going that far. So therefore, the Xeris Shava teaches me the existence of the Xeris Shava teaches me that bnei Aaron are not chayiv in Karka. And the Xeris Shava can teach me that just like they're not chayiv in Karka by Bnei Aaron, they're not chayiv in Karka by Bnei Yisrael. Even though once I know about Bnei Aaron, Kala Chaimah would teach me by Bnei Yisrael. But I wouldn't know about Bnei Aaron if it wouldn't be in the existence of the Xeris Shava of Karka. Rashi, the sheik sib rabbin aaron this the kram hak zer shava gabi yisro would indeed exer shava. In fact, the Gemara, same kasha the Gemara asked, the exer shava is not extra, meaning I need exer shava for other things. And once I need exer shava for other things, I have no right to say that the exer shava is defining parshas emor, just like we did yesterday with pa'as. And we said that we need pa'as for different things, and we came up with an answer that still it could have said esh is a kenecha. But same thing in the Gemara's kasha is here. You're building your pshat and parshas emor of the fact that there's a gzeirah shava that's unnecessary unless b'nai sa'aron are patur. That is a not true statement. The gzeirah shava is necessary for other things, and therefore, what right do I have to say that it's defining parshas emor? That is the Gemara's kasha. In fact, the Gemara. Without the Zeresh Shava, you would have thought that the Inyan doesn't go that far, meaning that B'nai 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 Sa'aron ends at La Yitama and doesn't go to Karka. If that's the case, right, if that's what you're saying, that Elav Zeresh Shava Hilsik Hashanami Name Hilsik Inyan, so then you have no right to say that it's different. I, B'mishim Zeresh Shava. I, we have Zeresh Shava. What are you going to do with the Gzeirah Shava? So the Gemara, there's other halachas that we derive from the Gzeirah Shava. And the Mela, again, once the whole basis of redefining Parshas Emor was because of an existence of an unnecessary Gzeirah Shava. But if once the Gzeirah Shava is necessary, then I have no right to define Parshas Emor. The Imishum Zereshava, I need it Mibari Lele Gitanya. And that is as follows. The Yikuchu Karka Barashum. So first, the Gemara is going to say, why do I need the double Lashon? The Yikuchu Karka. This is a Brisa that starts with the Pasuk before we get to the Zereshava. And it's explaining Shat the Pasuk and Emor. Correct the Brisa. Yachal Natanya says in the pasuk lo yichruchu. Yachal, I would think, I feel the karach arba v'chamish karchas le'yichai v'alachas. I would think that even if you have four or five baltzbats at one time, guy took his four fingers, put cream on them that makes the hair, this is a depilatory, and makes the hair not grow again. And he puts the four fingers on his head at one shot. And he was warned that if he does it, he's chai v'alav. And he was told that he's chayav a lav at each one. So is he chayav one lav? Or since he did four, each one counts as a separate lav? Now let me explain. If a person eats one gzayis of chaylov, he's chayav malchus. If he eats two gzayis of chaylov, that was one warning, he's chayav one ghatas. If he eats 10 gzayis of chaylov with one warning, he's only chayav one, either malchus b'mezid or ghatas b'shayim. Right, no warning by shaking, but because it's one act. How about if he does four bald spots at one time? He would take the same thing as four kseisim at one time. Dr. Gemara, Talmud Leibek Karcha, L'chayiv al korat achas achas. The Karcha comes to tell Shmi that he's chayiv each and every bald spot as a separate lav. If he does four at a time, he gets four malchus. The Torah wrote the word karcha to teach me that even four at a time, he gets four malchus.
Four warnings?
I'm sorry?
Four warnings or one warning?
One warning and doing it four. See, let me explain. By Kekhelev, if you eat one zayas with a warning, and then get a second warning for a second zayas, and a third warning for a third zayas, and a fourth warning for a fourth Kzayas, you get four different Malkus. If you get one warning and you eat four, you get one Malkus. Here, if you do one warning and the guy does four at one shot, like swallowing Kzayasim at one shot, he gets Malkus for every one, even though there was only one warning and one act. But the act consisted of four parts. So each part, each different bald spot, is a separate lav. It's as if the Torah wrote four lavin, and he's violating the four lavin in one shot. And therefore, he gets four malchusim.
Baruch telling me only by this, only by here, or are we making a gzer shava to other?
No, this is only by here, because the Torah wrote an extra word, karcha. By chelev, it remains the same. A guy gets warned not to eat chelev, and he swallows two kzeisi chelev in one shot, or even subsequently, with one warning, he only gets one malchus. Because it's one warning. Here, the one warning counts as four warnings, because he was warned that there's four lavim. But there are no four lavim. There's only one pasuk, lo yikachu. But the ad karcha tells me it's chayav in each one.
See that the word is needed and it's not mufna for gezer shava.
Yeah, no. Forget about the gezer. We haven't gotten gezer shava yet. Forget about gezer shava. We're darshaning the word karcha. Dr. Bryce Avait, Bereisham Mal Talmud Leimer. What does it mean, Bereisham? Where else are you going to make a bald spot? Bald spot is obviously going to be on your head. So by lighting the Yikachu Karcha, we know it means Bereisha. Right? So why do I need Bereisha? Zakta Gemara. What? I'm sorry?
Beard.
I can't hear. Beard? Interesting point. You're bringing up an interesting point. And Achronim is going to bring a riot in the air. The word Karcha automatically means, the word Karcha automatically means head. Because if it means beard also, then you can tell me Bereishim comes to exclude beard. Right?
You're showing we're translating
a riot. I'm sorry? I can't hear you.
I think Roshim is the top of the head, not the chin or cheek.
Correct. But the Gemara views Bereishim as an extra word here. I mean, obviously the word Karcha would have told us Bereishim. That's the Gemara bite. Yaakov, I'm sorry?
I don't understand.
Rabbi Brahm, can you speak up? I barely hear you.
Coming closer.
With the case of Chelev, if you give one hasra and he eats it Vasacha, as long as I have one, right? Because you only did one action and the person.
You eat chaylev one after the other with one hasra, you get one, even though you ate
right,
four.
No, my question is, was the chaylev eaten, were the two pieces eaten one after the other?
You know? If it was only one hasra, it makes no difference.
Okay, whatever. The bottom line is, the lumdus is that the hasra can only go on one, correct?
No, I hear what you're saying. The answer is, you're right. That's why only goes on one. Very well said. Yes.
Okay, now let's take that to what we're doing now. We're saying by Korcha, the Torah is saying, oh, if you have it on five fingers, even though there's only one Hasra, you'll be chai on every one. But we're saying that the Hasra is like four Hasraos? I mean, if you don't have the hasra, you don't have the hasra. I mean, Manashak, you can't change the lumdus behind it. You know what I mean? If I don't give.
Okay, I hear your question, Rabbi Cohen. A great question, but let me explain. By sherets, for instance, somebody's warned not to eat the sherets, and he eats the sherets. He's got five lavin, which means he gets five sets of malchus for eating one sherets. Because the Torah wrote it five times. And therefore, when he's warned and told, you should know the Torah said, if you eat this, you get five malchusim. He gets five malchusim for the one act of eating one sheretz. Why? Why is that different than chelov? Because by chelov, there's only one lav, and by sheretz, there's five lav. So the act becomes a violation five times over, even though it's one act with one hasra.
Are there five?
How
Are there
about
five separate psukim about that?
Yeah, there are five separate psukim b'sheretz. Correct. See Marcus 18b, where the Gemara lists, where Rashi brings the five psukim.
How does that apply by Korcha?
The extra word Korcha makes it as if the Torah said each individual one has its own love. That's exactly what the Torah is telling me. The extra word Korcha says that Layikruchu is not like eating chalav. Layikruchu is like sherets. But you won't get five malkasim for one Korcha. But one would get five malkasim for five karkas done simultaneously.
Sherets, there are five different psukim.
So this is what the word karka tells me exactly. Karka defines v'yikruhu, that it means each act, even done simultaneously with one morning, is considered its own love. It's 100% what the Torah is doing. It's defining the word v'yikruhu. Again, the Torah is defining that the law goes on each individual one.
What word are we, is it the plural of yikruchu? Because it's pluralized?
No. It's the extra word of karcha. It's the extra word of karcha. The extra word of karcha defines the yikruchu. Right. Bereisham matam leimar. Why does it have to say Bereisham? Isn't every karcha Bereisham? Because the Vishen Emar, by Yisrael, it says, in Parshas Kisetei, Lais is going to do, one should not wound themselves, premes, but Lais is simu karcha ben enechem lemes. I notice by Yisrael, Tara uses the word ben enechem. Tara does not use the word Bereisham. The Torah uses the word bein einechem. So yachol lehichayev el bein rinayev. How do I know that a yid is chayev any place of the head, not only in between their eyes? Talmud leimar v'nayin l'rabbis kol harosh. Talmud leimar bereishem lechayev al harosh kibein einayim. It's being mechayev on the head, the whole head, as if it were bein einayim. So the bereishem by kohanim is teaching us by Yisrael. Fret the Brisa, what right do you have to do that? Ain't the other Kahanim should live in Makas and Mitzvah Yisaris. That's only true by Kahanim, where the Torah wrote extra Mitzvah, Yisrael Minolon. How would I know what's going on in Yisrael? Right? What right do I have to take the word Bereishim, which was written by Kahanim, and logically pass it over to Yisrael? Logically, Kahanim have more Mitzvah. So maybe Kahanim can't do it at any point of their head. And Yisrael can only not do it by Bein Einayim. Talmud Leimar, right? Talmud Leimar, the answer is, Nemer Kan Karcha, Nemer Lahalan Karcha, says Karcha in both places. Ma Kan Chayim HaKol Karcha V'Karcha V'Chayim HaLa Roish K'Bein Einayim. Afahalun, Chayim HaKol Karcha V'Karcha So we learn on two halachas from Kehanim to Yisrael. Two halachas. One halacha that each karka, each bald spot is its own love. And number two, that it goes on the whole head, not only on the Bein Einayim. And the Brisa continues. Mala halona meis. By Yisrael it specifies that the Isra is only when it's done as mourning over a deceased. Afkan, by Kehanim, also a mace. So the Yerushalayim passes halachas both ways, creates a highway. And we learn now two halachas from Kahanim to Yisrael, and one halacha from Yisrael to Kahanim. The two halachas from Kahanim to Yisrael are that it's the whole head, and it's each karcha separately. And the one halacha from Yisrael to Kahanim is that it's only a mace. Now this is a Yerushalayim, and this is the Yerushalayim you said was extra to teach me that Shot in Parshas Emor, Bnei Aaron v'Loi Bnei Tzaron is going on Karcha. I see this as a very necessary Gzeira Shava. Teaches me three more halachas. So how could you say that the Gzeira Shava is an extra Gzeira Shava? Not extra. So the Gemara, I'll tell you why it's extra. Because it could have said, in Kenichtim Korach, could have said, Leichlich Korach Bereshim. So the extra, hey, my Korcha, to tell me a different halacha, a new halacha. That means to expand the Xerishava, to define Parshas Emor. Just like we did this on the Amud Beis with the word Pa'as, we're doing it here with the hey of the word Korcha. Because without the hay, I could have learned out the three halachas, two from one to the other, one from the other back. But it comes along the hay and says there's something else here. And that something else is a redefinition of B'nai Aaron V'loi B'nai Aaron, that it goes all the way to Karcha. And that says to me that women are putter. That teaches me that women are putter from Karcha. And therefore, they're putter by Kahanim, they're putter by Yisrael also, from the Xavier Shava. Now, without the Xavier Shava, I wouldn't know women are part of Bekahana. That extra hay teaches me an extra halacha in Parshas Emor. And once I know it in Parshas Emor, I pass it along the Parshas Kiseitze. Rashi. Roisham, Homer, Etzu Kahana, Matam, and Leimer. Because if he should have Bein Anayim, Benechem, Mashma, Samuel, and Pedachas. Bein Anayim means close to the forehead. Mal halon b'Yisrael ames hotem ksiv lames. In Cain, Dr. Gemara, the lahach milsu lechuda asa. It's only coming for the zereshava of bereshav and ames and each karcha. In Cain, the lahach nichta b'tavaya kairach. The extra hay in both places. My karcha have like zereshava yisera, an unnecessary extra zereshava. The midrash namiha. To darshan that part emor b'nei aaron v'lei b'nei saaron, and once I know b'nei aaron v'lei b'nei saaron, I take that across to Yisrael that women are part of karcha. That is the way Isi learned that women are part of karcha. Now the question of what the rabbanon do with that is not so shrair, because it's a chiddush. I mean it's a chiddush. I mean they might not darshan the extra hay as an extra halacha. I mean the whole thing is based on an extra hay. Who says rabbanon darshan it? So it's not a kashan rabbanon. What do you do with this? You might not do anything with it because they might not darshan the hay as being extra. So at this point, we have two sources for Isi. Yesterday we learned the Gemara because it says banim atam Hashem elokeichem, right? Banim v'loy banois, and we figured out that it's going on the karcha. And Abaye said it's from the fact that the Torah wrote an extra zeres shava, which we now define the extra hay in both places. The extra Zereshava is to define Parshas Emor, the B'nei Aaron V'loi B'nei Saaron goes all the way on Karcha. Rava now says a third source for Isi. Rava Amar, Hainu Tamer the Isi, Yalav B'nei Nechem B'tfilin. He says, we learn out the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, and it says, L'shesimu Karcha B'nei Nechem, and by Tfilin it says, V'hoyu L'tei Tafos B'nei Nechem, Tell me, Ma Lalon Noshim Peturis, Avkan Noshim Peturis. So, the Bein Einechem, why did the Torah write Bein Einechem? And we learn out Bereshim with the Gzeri Sheva. Why did you write Bein Einechem? What was the purpose of writing Bein Einechem? Dr. Rav, you know what the purpose of writing Bein Einechem is? To teach me that if women aren't Chayiv in Tulim, they're not Chayiv in this lab either. The Torah used the word Bein Einechem even though it means the whole head. If you learn out from Gzeri Shabbat, then it means the whole head. So Bnei Nechem is telling me that if you're not high, one is not chayiv in Tulim, they're not chayiv in that love. That's what Rava learns out, that loch of Isi. Frekti Gemara, Rabbaya, my time, Rava, my time, Lamer Kabaya. Why didn't Rava write like the Gzeri Shabbat of the hay? Right? So the Gemara, because Kaira Karkulay Mashmalay. He doesn't hold that the extra hay makes an extra Zereshava. He's not so bothered by it. He doesn't think that could be easy source. In fact, the Gemara Babaya, my time of the Amik Rava. The Chayra Rava has a solid point. Isn't there an extra Bnei Nechem? I mean, the fact that the Torah wrote Bnei Nechem, right? Bnei Nechem. Isn't the Torah trying to limit something? And it can't be the place of the Karcha because we have a Zereshava of Rosham that said it's the whole head. Dr. Gemara, Abaya says, Amalach Tfilin Gufayu Mahacha Gamarla. How do I know where to add Tfilin? Why would the Tetubas Bein Einecha? How do I know it doesn't mean on your forehead, right between your eyes, right between your eyebrows? Who told us that Tulim is worn on top of the head? It doesn't say that in the Torah. It says, Hard the top is Bene Necha. If you read the Chumash and you didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, you would wear your Tulim on your forehead close to your eyes. Isn't that what the Torah said? Hard the top is Bene Necha. Torah says, we learn that from Karcha. That Karcha means the head. So we say Bene Necham means the head. So we hear Bene Necha by Tulim means the head above the eyes. Now, you're going to ask me, why don't we say Beinei Necha means the whole head like it means by Karka? Because by Karka, we had a Gzeres Shava that taught us that. By Tula, we don't have that Gzeres Shava to teach me that it goes on the whole head. But the Gzeres Shava of Beinei Necha does teach me that it means the top of the head, not right between your eyes. So Abaye says, you know why I can't use Beinei Necha as a source? Because Beinei Necha goes the other way. It's to teach me where Tula is worn. It's not to teach me that women are part of tefillin to the part of this. It's to teach me where do you wear tefillin. You wear tefillin on top of your head. How do I know that? Because the Torah says, and it doesn't mean between your eyes. It means above between your eyes. And therefore, we learn now that tefillin is on top of your head. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara does not come back and ask how does Rav know this halacha. I didn't see anybody talk about it either. So why doesn't the Gemara ask Rava, don't you need Bene Necha to teach me where you put on tefillin? I didn't see the Gemara ask it. I didn't see anybody else ask it. So either Rava holds it to halacha l'maaseh b'Sinai, I don't need a pasuk for that. I don't know. I didn't see anybody talk about it. I was hoping the Rabbi Foreman talks about it. I didn't see anybody talk about how Rava would know this halacha. Rashi. Tulin Gufari Mahacha Nav Gmiri, Klaimers. Ahig Zeri Shava de Bene Nechem, Viboile the Migmer Mokum Tulin Mahacha. I needed to teach us the place of Tulin. The Loitame of Bene Nechem Mamash, the Hainu Apodachtai. Do not say Bene Nechem means on your forehead. The Yalov me Bene Nechem de Karka, the Bemokum Sar. That it has to be where your hair grows. The Belav Mokum Sar, the Mishkachas Karka. Karka has to be on hair. The Hainu Lamailum Apodachtai. Just above the forehead. Does art school explain how Rava would know that source?
Not on the bottom, no.
Again, so I don't know. I didn't see anybody talk about it. I didn't see the Gemara ask it. I didn't see the Rishonim ask it. I don't know.
He doesn't bring anything.
Nobody seems to be bothered by it. What?
I don't see any comment on the bottom.
Thank you. Don't take my advice. Bein Lavaya, Bein Lerava, who learned that EC source comes from the Pasuk in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Kisaitse from the word Bein Enechem. Hai Bonim Atem, my Darshabe. What do you do with the word Bonim Atem? Now, the truth is, the Gemara could have asked this question on the Rabbanon, who don't die so like EC, right? The Gemara could have said, the Tarsus Rashi asked the Kasha, why did the Gemara say, what do Rabbanon do with the word Banamata? Right? So the Tesis Rush answers, we wouldn't be bothered with Banamata because we would learn that Dr. Harris, that Banam doesn't mean sons, Banam means children. But Abaye and Rava learn Isi holds its putter. Once you hold its putter, that would be the simple drasha. Meaning, granted, that if you didn't know that he holds putter, you wouldn't make the drasha. But if you know Isi says women are not chayev, and the Torah does say the word banamatam, it's like a slam dunk that that's where he learned it from. And Abaye and Rava rejected it and came up with two different sources. Why didn't they use the simple source? Banamatam would have been the more simpler source. It says banim, and we darshan banam aloy banais. Either banam don't darshan it. That's not a kasha why you don't darshan it. It's only a kasha if you know Isi says your putter and you're looking for a source. Why didn't you use this simple source? Why did you go looking for a different source when you have such a simple source? That's the Gemara's kasha. Correct the Gemara. So bein la bai bein the rava, hai banamata my darshide. What do you do with banamata? Dr. Gemara, hami boy live in the Tanya. They use banamata like something totally different. Banamata mashem elekechem. Bisman shatim noyegim minig banim, atim kuyim banim. Hashem calls you children, when you behave like children, when you're doing His will. So then Hashem refers to you as children, and He treats you like a father treats his children. However, in a plan that we are not acting in a way that a child is supposed to act to their father, we don't do his will, so then you're not called banim. And the Mepharshim say that the Gemara says in Baba Basra, then we're called avadim, because an eved, meaning has to do his job, doesn't do it with much love. He has to do it, and if he doesn't do it, he gets punished, right? Son does it with Ava. So there's a different relationship. So Rabbi Yehuda learned, Dibri Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Banim Atam Hashem Elokeichem is really our thing. When are we Banim? When we act like Banim. Rachmana L'Tan, if we don't act like Banim, then Hashem doesn't treat us like Banim. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Ramei Reimer, Ben Kach Ben Kach Atam Kuyim Banim. And Ramei is just not true. We're always Banim. Hashem never drops the relationship between Klal Yisrael and him as a father to a son. And he proves it. Shenamar, banim schalim heima. I wonder if I'm pronouncing the word right. Banim schalim heima. They are foolish children, but they're still children. The Amar, banim, another pasuk says, banim le'emun bam. My emuna is not by them. They're not trustworthy, but they're still banim. They're banim that I can't trust, but they're banim. And the third pasuk says, Siyamer, instead of telling them, you're not my nation, they will say, you are the children of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, the living Rabbeinu Shleilam. So here is a pasuk again, that even though we're in a situation of Loyami, Hashem says, B'nei Kiyochai. So there's three psukim that call us children, even though we're not acting in the way children are supposed to act. I'm sorry?
Maybe it's got Zera Merei and Banim Ashtisim.
I skipped. I'm sorry. This works with them. Laim is Zera Mereim, children that are bad. Banim Mashchisim, children that are corrupt. Here we are. Banim, even though it's Mashchisim. Yaimer, Hoyim Mamakim Hashem Lem Lei Amiatim. Yaimer Lem Dei Vulito B'nei Kiyochad. So this four psukim. Why were these all four psukim necessary to prove your point, Rameyer? Rameyer brings four psukim to prove his point, that we are called banim regardless. Why was that necessary? Bunny. Foolish people are called bunny. Now, sikhli would mean people who do maisis shtus, usually referring to shaygig, meaning lack of, like, it's foolish. Foolish means not great seichel. That's what they're called banim. But when you can't trust them, which means that's already more mazed, when they're already doing things that are mazed, even though it's like aim and bum, they're still banim. Fine, that's what they do averis. But But when they serve Avodah Zarah, that's beyond. Mashchisim refers to Avodah Zarah. We find that the Torah calls Avodah Zarah Hashchasa. Pasuk in Devarim, Ben Tashchisim, Rashi brings Vashchisim Peso. Right? So we see that the word Tashchisim refers to Avodah Zarah, and still it's Banim. Okay, Rameyer, you proved your point that we're called children. But maybe we're called bad children. Who says that the Rabbeinu Shlom still considers us children without a defining adjective of, these are my bad children, these are my rotten children? Maybe, how do I know that it doesn't get a title to our child, to our title of son, but it comes with an adjective, meaning saying that we're not such good children. We're bad children. Talmud Leimar, that's Chashamal, Yoyimer Bokum Hash, Yoyimer Lem Lei Amiatim, Yoyimer Lem B'nei Kiyochai. B'nei Kiyochai is a statement that comes children without any adjective defining them. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. When they do Averis the Mazen, then we would think not Avodah Zarah. Mashchisim, Hayin Avodah Zarah. Did it say? Pentashchisun, Vasitzim Luchapesel. Barim Al Mikri. Now here comes Rashi, he adds a piece. And he translates the Gemara different than I did. I didn't for a reason, but now that we know, we see Rashi, we can retranslate it. The bottom line is, we're not Barim Mashchisim, Rachman Al-Islam. Children who don't behave aren't banim mashchisim. What does the Gemara mean? They're all called banim and they're not called regular children. But we want to finish well to give us a kiss and say, oh, fellas, you know, the boo-boo goes away. I mean, Rachmana Litzlan, if we don't behave, if Kali Yisrael doesn't behave, there's a tain on us. But what does the Gemara mean? We're called banim mashchisim and not banim. The trashy that the Gemara held in the Havamina, who says we can ever become from banim mashchisim into good children? Where do we see in the psukim that the Rabbi Nishlam refers to as foolish, la'aim and bam, mashchisen, but is willing to look away if we do tshuva? The answer is, Yaymer lechem b'nei keochai. Hashem will tell us, when we do tshuva, you are my dear children. And that's what the pasuk is teaching me, that even though, Rachman al-Lefan, we might have been labeled as banim mashchisen, we can revert that. So Drashi, bani ma'ayu le'mikri oid v'oilam. Who says we will ever be able to be good children? Who says that that relationship that we have as banim mashchisim can be rectified to be banim without mashchisim? Now the kasha on Rashi's chat is this the source that tshuva works? We know tshuva works. We've learned that tshuva works from other psuchim. What was the halamina here? I guess that is the halamina is that maybe the relationship doesn't come back to the madrega of banim completely. It will remain always some sort of chasarn. So B'nai Kel Chai teaches me it'll be as if one never sinned. It'll be mamish like the best children. That's what I think Rashi is teaching me. The tshuva also removes everything and moves us all the way back to being children as if nothing ever went wrong. The Havamina would have been, we can do tshuva, and Rachman al-Litzan, and if a person does a chet, he will not be punished if he does tshuva, that's great. But who says he can revert back to being that madrega of banim? And along the pasuk says that even though we were banim mashchisim, we can come back to the madrega of b'nei keochai. Right. Yes.
If I may ask, I'm a little bit embarrassed to ask this. Eved is a lower madrega than Bonim, than Ben, right? So my question is, why is Moshe, the highest compliment we give him is he's an Eved Hashem rather than Ben Hashem?
Nice question. Very nice question. I think that a ben who serves as an eved is the higher madrega. Meaning that he's a ben, he's a navi, so obviously he's a ben. The chiddush is that he is his total avdus, meaning it's stressing Maisha's anivus. And anivus is a form of eved, not a ben. An eved is humble. An eved stands in front of his master, very humble. The pasuk is trying to tell me the Moshe's madregas of anivus. Got him, Reb Chaim Lozner explains in Perik Aleph of Avos, Moshe Kibul Torah Sinai, the reason Moshe was zaycha to all his madregas was because of his unbelievable anivus. That is a function of an eved. Now it doesn't contradict being a son, but a son who's totally humble in front of his father is assuming a role of an Eved as well, besides being a son. He serves Hashem with Ava, serves Hashem with love like a son does, but at the same time is humble. And that's a function of Eved. And the Rabbeinu Shlomo was trying to say why Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is higher than anybody else's Nevuah. And as Rav Chaim Elozner explains in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, that came about because of Moshe's Anivus, because of his humbleness. And therefore, the Pasuk in Parshas Baloicha tells us about his humbleness. Ish Moshe Aleph Moed Kalad Rabbeinu Adama, Lekein Abdi Moshe Kalaisi Nemanhu. These are all signs of Moshe Rabbeinu's humbleness that exceeded anybody else's humbleness. He was zero, and therefore became a kli kibul of the Rabbeinu Shlomo's Nevuah on a much higher madrega. So Rav Chaim Elozner explains in the beginning of Avos, that's why Moshe kibul Torah Sinai had to do with his madrega of Anivus. So it could be that the stress of Lekein Avdi Moshe could be if the stress is Anivus, the fact that he was such a big unav in the eyes of Hashem.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Very good question.
The Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Kosol, whose name is slipping my mind right now, also gives a very nice explanation, which is likely a tolda of...
I can't hear you.
That the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Kosol, whose name is slipping my mind right now, gives a very nice explanation of this question, in which he says very simply that an eved shares the miles of its master. If a kohen buys an eved, that eved can now eat trumas and maestras and such like that. Not only that, the das of an eved is das rabo. It's a complete, the eved is completely subsumed by the master.
Okay, it jives with what I said.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. It's likely it told him.
No, the truma part doesn't get me because the son also eats truma. But the das does, I understand. And the das Evet Kedas Rabbi is also a sign of humbleness, of total hisbatlus.
The son is not transformed. The son was born eating truma, or the ability to eat. There's an Evet is transformed.
Got it. Okay. Dr. Mishnah.
Because they're called Bunim, that meant Hashem has more, he looks away more, or it's just the night? Bottom line is, what because we're called Bunim, what does that do for our benefit?
So, the easiest answer. First of all, there's a drush of the Beis HaLevi. In the Agdam, I believe, the Beis HaLevi Chele Gimel, there's a section of drushes Beis HaLevi. He has a whole drusha on Banim Atam Hashem Elokeichem. And the Gemara of Avodah Zarah also that deals with Banim and Avadim. Daf Yodam and Aleph, I believe it is. That the Gemara deals with Banim and Avadim. But the simplest answer is the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara Baba Basra says that a Roman hegemon asked Rabbi Akiva, he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved poor people, why did he make them poor? So Rabbi Akiva answered him, so we should get the mitzvah of supporting them. And he said, Mashal, Rabbi Akiva said, so the Roman officer responded and said, if a person gets angry at his Evet and he puts him in a place where he can't get food, and somebody comes and gives food to that Evet, the master would get very angry. I just punished my Evet. I put him on a starvation diet. And you're coming and going against my will. So how can you say it's a mitzvah to give an Ani Tzedakah? If the Rabbi Nachman wanted the Ani to have food and money, he would have given it to him. So Rabbi Akiva answered him, what if the king punished his son and somebody snuck food to his son? Would the king be upset or happy? He'd be happy. Because even though he punished his son, he doesn't want his son to suffer. So he's happy that somebody else is giving him food. So the same thing, we give on him, is like giving the king's son food. That's Rabbi Akiva answered him. So the guy answered him, you're not Avadim anymore. Today you're Avadim. You're not Eishin Ritzayin Shamakim. That's the Gemara Baba Basra. So Rabbi Akiva answered him, the Pasuk still says it's a mitzvah tzedakah. That's the... So the Beis HaLevi deals with, is Rabbi Akiva going like Rabbi Yehuda? Can Rabbi Akiva work with Rabbi Meir? He has a whole drasha of the concept of Banim and Avadim. But the simplest difference is that Gemara. I mean, it's not, because you're mechuyev to feed Hashem's Avadim as well. But the simplest difference is, Banim, the Rabbi Nishlam, would like his children to be taken care of. Avadim, the interest in having them taken care of is not as strong. Now, Rabbi Akiva is telling us that we have a chiyuv to feed aniyim anyway. Rabbi Yehuda Meir is saying we have them anyway, so the chiyuv to feed is there anyway. But that would be the simplest answer.
You can look at it and say, since we're called Bunim, that means we have a higher standard to make, meaning a smaller Avera is really worse. Because look who we're called, and we're not living to that name.
I hear your point. Again, if you're interested in this longer explanation of the difference between Bunim and Avadim and how it affects us and everything, see Beis HaLevi drushes at the beginning of Chelek Gimel. Who's Marach on this? And that would be the best place to look, because he expands on this. And again, dealing with whether Rabbi Akiva is picking like Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Akiva agreeing to a mayor, because Rabbi Akiva did not respond to the Roman and say, we're still Bunim. He just said, the Pasuk says anyway, that even when they're Avadim, we have to feed them. That's all he said. He didn't say that either. He said, even if we're in Gullus, we have to take care of our poor. That's what Rabbi Akiva answered him. Now the question becomes, was Rabbi Akiva saying Rabbi Yehuda? Was Rabbi Akiva saying Rabbi Meir? So then the Beis HaLevi goes in Arichas and then goes into the exact difference in Bunim and Avadim. In that piece of Beis HaLevi. If you're interested, see Beis HaLevi Drushes. It's printed in the Shalos and Tshuvos Beis HaLevi. I believe it's between Chelek Beis and Chelek Gimel. That's where it is. It's a whole bunch of drushes over there. Okay, we'll stop here today, and we mentioned I'll be back in body on Sunday morning when we do Chazara at 6:30. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.
Yeah.
It's not happening today. Baruch Meisha,
yeah.
You're going to be here Sunday morning?
I will be here Sunday morning, yeah.
Okay, Rachel, I had to do the test. Number two, is anybody sponsoring the test this week?
I was going to leave it open because I could do it for my new grandchild. But
no, I want to sponsor.
Okay, what's Kala's name?
Kala's name is Bracha Bas Yesender.
Bracha?
Bas Yesender, S-E-N-D-E-R.
Which sender is this?
Mordechai
Center.
Mordechai. It comes from Chicago, yeah.
I know. I think I know who that is. He has a brother Shragi, obviously. Right?
Right, he has a brother Shragi, the brother Mayer, the brother Yaakov, the brother Shragi. He has a whole bunch of brothers.
Yeah. Another Chicago shidduch. Beautiful. Okay.
Well, he doesn't live in Chicago anymore. He lives in Lakewood.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like from here. And yeah. Who's the Shatrin?
A whole bunch of people, but the main shot was Yaakov Leib Foyer, Shmuel Foyer's son.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right. But those I'm in Mazel.
Okay. Good job.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.